Welcome back to the Shaw's Law Podcast, preseason NBA teams edition. Today, Rob, me, aka the Pod God, is joined by Dylan of Thunder Chats. And in case you couldn't figure it out from his name, we're going to talk Thunder. Dylan, say what up.
How's it going, guys? Just coming off Thanksgiving. So, belly's full and happy to be here. Let's talk some basketball.
All right, so I always like to give the listeners a little background on the person who's talking about the team. So, who's your favorite Thunder player of all time?
Ooh, all time is Russell Westbrook, hands down, not even close. Current moment, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and, depending on what he does in his time in a Thunder jersey, he could possibly surpass Russell Westbrook. So, yeah, that'd be my two favorite, man.
Give me a couple of your favorite Thunder memories.
They
can be personal. They can be team related. Like whatever you want to tell us about your Thunder fandom.
Okay. So the only NBA game I've been to is when the Thunder played the Nuggets. Not this past year, but the year prior to that, and we lost. But again, it was my first NBA game, so that was a good memory. Got to go through with my buddies and kind of take them on their first NBA game, too, so that was cool. Other than that, though, I would say Game 6 of the 2017 final, or not final, sorry, first round of the Western Conference, whenever we played the Utah Jazz, I think we was down, like, 35 points in the third quarter. I was so mad, and I uncharacteristically threw my hat across the room, and as soon as I did that, Russ Westbrook came down, bang, hit a three. Came back down, bang, hit another three. Basically, he just led a barrage to, bring us back from 35 points down in the third quarter to come back and win and really breathe new life into us in the series. Unfortunately, we wasn't able to capitalize on that the next game, but I digress.
During the run, did you put the hat back on or just had to stay where it was?
I'm pretty sure I put the hat back on. I think they went to – I think Billy – promptly took a timeout. I believe it was a Joe Ingles three. And, I think they went on like a 7-9-0 run or something like that coming out of the half. And that's when Billy called timeout and I threw my hat and I went and put it back on, while it was commercial.
All right. You guys were 44-28 last year. Do you think you will be better or worse than that?
Is that a real question?
It's in the format. I got to ask.
I'm going to say a little bit worse than that.
additions and subtractions. The major subtractions are the loss of Steven Adams, mm-hmm. Chris Paul, and Dennis Schroeder. Did I miss anybody that you would consider a major subtraction?
Danilo Gallinari.
That is a good one.
Yeah.
How many picks do you guys have at this point?
Man, I mean, picks, I don't know. That's an entirely different question because we've been racking up second rounders here recently. I believe we have 19, maybe 20 first rounders in the next 5 years. Or that was including this past draft. So I think it's back down to like 15, 16 in the next 4 years or something like that.
Down to 15 or 16.
Yeah, ho-hum.
Is there an addition that you're really excited about for the team?
Not really at this point. I mean, I'm excited to get guys like George Hill, Ariza, and Al Horford just because I feel like they will be flippable for another first-round pick, maybe a young player that can kind of be a part of this rebuild. But not exactly for them on the court. Some guy I am kind of excited about is Admiral Schofield. We got in the Washington Wizards deal.
From Tennessee.
Yeah, he was a problem at Tennessee. And, I mean, he's built out of marble. And, he was a productive player in college. And, he didn't really have a shot at Washington. And he's going to have all the opportunity in the world with no pressure in OKC. So I'd like to see what we got in him.
Because you are a Kentucky fan, so you know an SEC player when you see one.
Oh, heck yeah, man. We blew through and through.
That dude was tough, too, and built out of marble. It might be the best way to describe it. He looks like somebody you would name Admiral.
Absolutely. He lives up to his name.
What about TJ Leaf?
I don't love TJ Leaf, honestly. He reminds me a lot of Nick Collis, and I didn't like TJ Leaf when he was in college either. I mean, to be completely honest with you, but, you know, that was more so just because we couldn't seem to guard him when we played UCLA. He made those games uncomfortably close. But no, I'm not super excited about him. Honestly, don't really know if he's going to stick around or if we might, you know, include him in another trade or not. But if he's here, I mean, he's here, I guess.
I've always been partial to Justin Jackson.
Yeah. Like
just the little, for whatever reason, I've always gravitated towards him. I think he could be a solid 3-and-D guy for you guys.
Yeah, I like Justin Jackson more in the league than I do meeting him in the NCAA tournament, but that's besides the point. Justin Jackson's tricky with me because I've seen what he could do, especially like in college, but in the NBA, he hasn't been like a phenomenal shooter. I think he shot, I looked it up the other day, I think he shot like 30 to 31% from three last year. Like, it wasn't great, especially for a guy of his reputation. You know, Luka Doncic creating looks for him. So, I don't love it, but, you know, like I said about Emerald Schofield, more opportunity, absolutely no pressure. So, he might be able to, you know, turn into something.
What is your predicted starting lineup?
Starting lineup right now, as constructed, if nobody else gets traded, I will say Shai Gilgeous-Alexander running point. I will say Lou Dort shooting guard. It's tough on the small forward. I think I'm going to lead Justin Jackson, though. I think Darius Bazley is going to play. No. Well, I don't know. It'd be either Justin Jackson or Trevor Ariza. Just depends on what we want to get out of Trevor Ariza. But, yeah, I think Bazley's going to run four. Darius Bazley's going to run the four spot. And if Al Horford's still here, Al Horford's going to play center because, well, we don't really have a lot. I mean, we have Mike Muscala. We brought him back. And then we got Pokuševski, who we drafted. So maybe we'll throw him to the Wolves. But, no, I think it'd be Shai, Dort, either Justin Jackson or Trevor Ariza, and then Bazley and Horford.
You guys took Pokuševski around 17. Is he, he's coming over for sure?
Yeah, he's already in OKC.
Okay. Yep. I had questions of whether he was a potential draft and stash.
No, I think, according to some people, I think Jonathan Givony talked about it in the low post, that was kind of a contingency on the Thunder promising him to pick him in the draft. Is, you know, we'll pick you, like we'll trade up to pick you to come here. As long as you come here. Like,
okay.
Because he's playing on, like, I think the B team of Olympiakos in Greece. So he wasn't playing great competition. He wasn't going to get better playing over there. So the only way he's going to get better and develop is if he comes, you know, to the States and plays in the NBA.
Do you have a young guy on the roster who you think takes another big step? Let's exclude SGA because I think he could be a fair answer here, too.
Yeah. Honestly, Lou Dort and Bazley, I'm expecting big things out of both of them. You know, we kind of saw a glimpse of it at the end of Game 7 against the Rockets. You know, Dort hitting all those threes. I think he shot 6 of 12, scored by 30 points. So that was like a small glimpse on the way he can do scoring-wise. He's always had, you know, a nice handle, and he can finish better than you would think he could. But I know in the offseason, just based off like, you know, what we've seen on his social media, he's really working on his offensive side of the game. Bazley's just a guy that has a super high IQ, has a great feel for the game, really strong skill set. I mean, he's already shown what he could do with the ball in his hands, playing off ball, and defending at a high level. So, you know, I don't think he's going to necessarily just improve in one of those areas. I think it's just going to be more comfortable to him. He's going to have more opportunities. But if I was going to pick somebody besides those two, I'd pick our boy Hamidou Diallo, who has been kicking his butt during the offseason, working with Lethal Shooter, working with the Garb Whisperer. Like, he's doing everything he can to get better. And the Thunder exercised his team option. So they obviously have a little faith in him. So I'm looking forward to see what Hami can bring. He actually might be a contender to be in the starting lineup at that small forward position.
I love Hami. I love the energy he brings.
Mm-hmm.
And he has, like, when you have that level of athleticism, if you can figure out the shooting, mm-hmm. things just get dangerous.
Yeah. And I mean, he's got the build, he's got the length, and, you know, like you said, the athleticism. He could be a lockdown defender if he put his mind to it. He kind of gets lost sometimes. But yeah, anytime he came in off the bench, he was an instant spark plug. He got the energy going, he got the offense going. The way he was able to crash the boards was super impressive to me at his position. So, yeah, I mean, I'm expecting big things for Hami.
What were your initial reactions to actually trading Chris Paul?
We kind of knew it was a means to an end when we brought Chris Paul in. Some people wanted to trade him as soon as we could trade somebody. But I actually recorded a podcast on my podcast, Top of Thunder, and I talked about how, you know, it might be a good thing to have Chris Paul here for a year to, you know, do all the things that he did, really, to show people he's still, you know, a top 25 talent in the league, to show people he can play nice with others, show people he can develop these young guys. And it's going to benefit the Thunder because they'll be able to get something out of him, get value from him. And it's going to develop, or it's going to benefit Chris Paul because he's going to be able to find his way to a new situation, possibly a better situation. And, you know, it turned out it did. You know, he found his way to Phoenix, playing alongside young guys like Devin Booker, Cam Johnson, Mikal Bridges, DeAndre Ayton, like all kinds of youth there that, you know, he can kind of, you know, rub himself off on and as they grow and develop. And I think the Phoenix Suns could be a top five seed in the Western Conference this year. So I think it's a good situation for him. And, you know, judging just by the return that we got, I mean, basically you got Pokuševski, you got a potential first-round pick and a giant trade exception, and then you got two young players. We traded Jalen LeCue. I can't remember who we traded him for. Oh, that's when we got TJ Leaf, isn't it? I think it is, yeah. We traded Jalen LeCue and we got TJ Leaf in another second, so there's another pick. And then we still had Ty Jerome, who was great in college. I think he's a good shooter. I think he could be a good backup point guard or, you know, even better third string point guard. So we definitely got some value out of that pick. And not to mention the first rounder from Phoenix that will eventually be a first rounder. I think it was like top 16% protected in 22 and it drops protection all the way to 25. And if it hasn't conveyed in 2025, it's a completely unprotected first round pick. And by then, who knows? Chris Paul's gone.
It's only 12.
It what is it?
12.
Oh, it starts at 12? 12. Okay. Yeah.
12, 10, 8, and then unprotected, or top 5 and then unprotected.
Yeah, and I mean, hey, at that point, Booker might be gone, Chris Paul be gone, Ayton might be gone. Like, that whole team could be completely different, and that could be a, like, not just a lottery pick, that could be a top 5 pick. So, yeah, man, like I said, I expected it. We all kind of knew it was coming. And yeah, it happened, and we was cool with it. You know, Chris Paul gave us all for the city, for the team, and we appreciate him for it. And we got something back, and he got in a good situation. So everybody's happy.
Last time me and you spoke on my other podcast, the Playground NBA Trade Pod, the Thunder didn't have a coach. Since then, they do have a new coach.
Mm-hmm.
What can you tell me about, I can't pronounce it, it's Daniel?
Mark Daigneault.
Mark Daigneault. Thank you.
Yeah, it's a fun pronunciation. He's a guy that the Thunder's kind of bred. He's had a connection with Sam Presti going back to his days at Florida when he was, a graduate assistant underneath Billy Donovan. Sam brought him over to be on the G League staff. He was eventually the G League coach. He coached them for a few years before that we brought him up. Not this past season, but the season before that. And he's been an assistant coach, coaching with Billy Donovan. And what everybody says is this is one of the, like, best guys you'll meet. I mean, everybody was super happy when he got hired. Lou Dort, Baisley, Some of the other G League guys, Bradley Beal. I mean, that's a pretty ringing endorsement of Bradley Beal. He said, "I've never been more happy for a person in my life." I mean, hey, that's pretty high praise. In his press conference, you know, he talked about the importance of pace and space and how that's how the game's going. And that excited Thunder fans, you know, because we've always wanted more shooters on the floor, and now we kind of think we're going to get that. And he's great, you know, in his time in the G League, he's great for developing young players. And if you look on a roster, we've got a lot of young players. So I think he'll be good for this time. And, you know, who knows, after we kind of see what he can do, maybe after, you know, these players have developed, or these players have developed and we make the moves we need to move, and we're in the place where we're competing and contending again, maybe he's still the guy that's in the seat. You know, who knows though?
Is there anybody that you guys want, that you wanted the Thunder to target this offseason? Excuse me. Ooh.
Free agent wise?
Yes.
Not really. There wasn't a great free agent class as in terms of like the fringe pieces, like, you know, the 5, 6, 7 mil. We wasn't ever going to get one of the top guys because we wasn't going to target the top guys, because that kind of brings us to the middle, and we're very much trying to tank this year. And, you know, there wasn't a lot of, like, you know, exciting, like, intriguing prospects, like young guys that didn't work out at the first team. Harry Giles was a guy that I kind of thought about, but at the same time, his offense, his game is kind of one-dimensional. You know, he can't really spread the floor or anything like that, so I understand why we didn't go for him. But yeah, overall, I didn't really have any preference to who we brought in. I know we brought in Frank Jackson, and I know that we liked him at the draft, and there was rumor that we promised him at the draft. So it'll be interesting to see what he could do here.
You guys have a collection of picks, and you're obviously looking to add star talent through the draft. College basketball just started yesterday or 2 days ago.
Yeah.
Is there anybody that you have your eye on early?
There is two players I have my eye on early. One is the prize of the draft, Cade Cunningham. You know, everybody loves him. He's playing right there in Sam Presti's backyard in Oklahoma State. He's an easy scout. I mean, he did great in his debut, in despite of his teammates not really showing up to help him out. But I mean, like I said, you know, he's projected number one, and I think at the end of the day, the Thunder, barring somebody else just like absolutely leapfrogging him this year in college basketball, I think the Thunder are gonna make the moves necessary to go get that guy, because it just makes too much sense. But if it wasn't Cade Cunningham, I gotta go with my guy B.J. Boston. I think he's the best pure scorer in the draft. He's got great length. At 6'7", he's got great height. You know, he can kind of be a combo guard, maybe even play a little bit of three in the NBA. He's wiry, he's thin, but he doesn't shy away from contact. You know, just kind of looking at his one game against Morehead State. What was really impressed me with B.J. Boston is he was able to, you know, really lead the team without his shot even falling. Like, he scored, I think he had 14 points and 7 rebounds or something like that. But he was able to... 12. Yeah, okay, yeah. I knew it was like 12 or 14. But yeah, he was able to score the basketball efficiently. I think he shot 50%, but he missed all of his three-point attempts. And, you know, he came out of the class as, you know, one of the best three-point shooters, like, you know, in this recruiting class. So I know that's coming, and, you know, that's a skill that's going to be coveted in the NBA. So I love that B.J. Boston, man. Shea and B.J. Boston backcourt, that'd be a UK fan's dream.
He's definitely better than Terrence Clark to you?
I like Terrence Clark, too. Like, he showed me a lot of things, and I know that, you know, he's a very highly touted recruit, too. I don't know. I just trust B.J. Boston's skill set a little bit more than I do Terrence Clark's right now. I'd love to end up with both of them. You know, we have, I think, potentially three first-round picks in next year's draft. So, I mean, if we was able to end up with both of them, I'd be thrilled. But, yeah, right now, B.J. Boston is who I got my eye on if we can't get Cade Cunningham.
And before that, you had said that you think that Cade Cunningham will be somebody that the Thunder make a priority to try and get. Like, if they don't get the number one pick, they might be willing to package other stuff to move up to have a chance at Cade.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, like I said, I mean, it just makes too much sense for them because, you know, he's right there in the backyard. He's a guy that, you know, everybody's had their eye on. So, you know, the Thunder's kind of looking out for him. And, you know, it's easy to form connections at that point because they're so close. And, you know, I'm excited to see Shea play on the ball this year and kind of see what he has, you know, being a point guard in the NBA, kind of let him go through his bumps and his bruises and make his mistakes and learn and grow from that. But at the same time, we know Shea can play off ball, you know, to a lead ball handler too. So I don't even think the fit is bad with Cade Cunningham. So, yeah, man, I think the Thunder will move heaven and earth to get Cade if it comes down to it.
That's an interesting take. I know this is super early in the season to be talking about a draft prospect.
Yeah.
But I knew you would have a take on him, and I figured B.J. Boston would come up too.
Yeah.
As another Kentucky fan, I figured B.J. Boston couldn't be too far off your radar.
Oh, yeah. Heck yeah, man. I'm tooting that B.J. Boston horn hard. Looking forward to see what he can do this weekend and Tuesday. So,
What are your realistic expectations for the Thunder? What is a successful season this year?
A successful season is we lose every single game by 1 point. He wasn't ready for that one.
That almost just killed me.
Yeah, you know, like I said, you know, we want to have the best shot at getting the number one pick. And to do that, you know, you want to have the best odds in the lottery. And to do that, you have to have the worst record in the league. But at the same time, you know, we don't want to instill a losing culture. We want to be a competitive team. We want our guys to grow and develop. We want them to have experiences in these close and tight games where they're in it till the end. So, you know, if you lose every game and you have the best odds, awesome. If you lose every game by 1 point, dude, you're in it every single time. So, yeah, lose every game by 1 point. That's the best scenario for me.
You guys are in a spot where being competitive wouldn't be horrible because you do have so many other picks that aren't yours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I've heard a lot of people say that. And I get it. I understand. A lot of those takes come from Thunder fans that really aren't ready to see this team go tank. Like, you know, they're just latching on to the success we've had the past decade, and they don't want to let go of that. But at the same time, the only destiny that you can really control is your own. You know, you can only really control where your pick is going to be. You don't know what moves the other teams are going to make. You don't know what injuries are going to happen to other teams to put that team in a better position. So, you know, at the end of the day, yeah, you do have a lot of other teams' picks, but the only one you have control of, where that ends up, is your own. So that's why I say, you know, tanking, at least at this point in time, is the best move.
That's fair enough. Control what you can control, and you can control your bad record.
Heck yeah, man.
All right. Is there anything else you wanted to touch on as a Thunder fan?
No, man. I just want to applaud Sam Presti for the job he's done, man. I think he's kind of rewriting the book on tanking. You know, a lot of national media are really paying attention to what Presti's doing. Tim Bontemps kind of touched on this a little bit in the Hoop Collective before Brian Windhorst just absolutely cut him off like a child, but that's besides the point. But Tim Bontemps said, you know, you can break something down with a sledgehammer, not care what happens, pretty easily. But for Sam Presti to tear this thing down to the ground piece by piece, but get maximum return for each of those pieces is unprecedented. Like, we've never seen anything like this. Like, this is how a rebuild is supposed to be done. And the Thunder have a lot of cap space. We have cap room. So, and we have all these trade exceptions. So, a contract like a Nick Batum, you know, a terrible $27 million contract for New Orleans, you know, they're trying to get that sign and trade done for Gordon Hayward, but they want to have somebody take Nick Batum so, you know, they can have room for Gordon Hayward to pay him the money that, you know, they signed him to. Hey, we have a trade exception for that much. We'll take that. Just give us one of your future picks. you're going to start to see a lot of that, because I think we've generated like at least three pretty big trade exceptions. I think at least over 19 million for all three of them. So yeah, Sam Presti's not done. This is far from the final roster. I think we have 21 players unofficially on our team right now. You got to trim that down, to 15 by the beginning of the season. So, you know, we'll kind of see what happens.
Last thing, Sam Presti has done a great job of moving big name guys, mm-hmm. but doing it in a way that wins the public over. Like, oh, Westbrook wants out. He wants to go to Houston. He facilitated him to Houston. Chris Paul wanted to get to Phoenix. He facilitated him to Phoenix. Same thing with Paul George to the Clippers.
Yep.
Is that just part of the OKC culture? Like, where even when we move on from a player, we still try and do what's in their best interest?
Absolutely, man. I mean, nobody wants to send, you know, somebody to a worse situation. It goes back to maximizing the return, you know. Nobody wants to go to a bad situation, but everybody wants to kind of go to a place where they can contend or somewhere they want to be somebody they want to play with. But Sam Presti's going to do the best to accommodate you to that, but he's going to get as much as he possibly can in return. And if you look at all the former players that the Thunder have had exceeding Kevin Durant, which everything that comes out of his mouth changes day after day, everybody's had glowing things to say about the Thunder organization. About Sam Presti, about Billy Donovan, you know, from the top down, everybody's had glowing things to say. OKC tries to treat their players right. They try to, you know, institute a winning culture, a player first kind of motto within their organization. And I think it showed, you know, like you said, with all these trades, you know, trying to get these players where they want to go, trying to do right by them. And I think a lot of it is the fact that, you know, as OKC, Oklahoma City is not a great free agent destination, and you kind of have to do these things in order to make your franchise more appealing. Thank you for that word. more appealing. But I think a lot of it is also just, you know, kind of who Sam Presti is. Just kind of seeing him over the years, how he's, you know, built these relationships with these players and how, like I said, he's done right by them. And I think it goes to show you. Danilo Gallinari is another example. Like, we could have traded Danilo Gallinari to either the Miami Heat or Dallas Mavericks at the trade deadline. And we left it up to him. He's like, hey, this deal's on the table. You talk to them. Make sure it's cool. He wanted to negotiate an extension. Miami wasn't willing to offer that. You know, OKC could have sent it to him. I mean, OKC could have sent him on, and, you know, it's their problem to deal with, but they didn't do that. They held on to him, and because of that, whenever he went to Atlanta, they negotiated a sign-and-trade to get another pick. I think it was like a second-rounder. It was like a fake second-rounder, but, again, it generated another big trade exception, so we was able to get something back for Gallo. You know, it's kind of like, I scratch your back, you scratch my back situation. So, yeah, man, that's kind of the Presti motto, man. You know, just try to do right by his players.
It's awesome, and it's noticed, and I think that's why they don't have a lot of out-in-the-open trade requests. Because once you make a trade request, it kills your value. So if you tell me quietly, hey, I can work on this, and I can get the maximum return from where you want to go.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the big thing with the Paul George trade. You know, it literally came out of nowhere to everybody outside because Paul George approached Presti and said, you know, I want to go to the Clippers. And apparently whenever Paul George re-signed, that was a conversation Presti had with Paul George. Like, hey, come back. If it doesn't work out, we'll trade you where you want to go. So that was kind of a handshake agreement they had before he re-signed with OKC. But the fact that he came to Presti, said he wanted to go somewhere, Presti said, okay, but don't let this get out. Let me, you know, work this up, try to get what I can. I'll get you where you want to go. And, you know, that mutual respect that I talked about, you know, the kind of you scratch my back, I scratch your back kind of thing goes right back to that. If Paul George wanted to leak out to the media, like, hey, you know what? I want Danilo Gallinari there. I want Shai Gilgeous-Alexander there. I think we're going to need a ball handler. I think we're going to need a shooter there. I'm going to go ahead and leak this out to the media so they can't get that kind of return. He could have easily done that, but he didn't. And thanks to that, we have a new franchise player, and we had Danilo Gallinari, who was a 20-point scorer, a phenomenal 3-point shooter, and was able to net us back a huge trade exception and another future pick. So there you go, man.
All right, Dylan, I won't take up any more of your Friday night. Thank you for giving us some time. Plug your socials. Let them know where they can find your podcast, where they can follow you. Just give it all to them.
Yes, sir. All right. Well, hey, you can follow me at Thunder Chats on Twitter. You can follow our podcast at OKC Topic Thunder. We try to post about once every week in the off season, but we'll go a little more regularly during the season once it gets started up. And you can find my writing at dailythunder.com and at overtimeheroics.net. I try to release a couple articles a month, so definitely keep your eyes on that. And just appreciate you having me on, man. It's always good to talk to you about some hoops.
I appreciate you giving us the time. That has been Dylan of Thunder Chats. This is the Shaw's Law Podcast, preseason edition. Thank you for listening, ladies and gentlemen.